Today on Jay Sekulow Live, less than 1 week from Election Day in the Supreme Court and how it will weigh in on how votes are counted. We'll talk about that more today on Jay Sekulow Live.
Live from Washington, D.C., Jay Sekulow Live.
Joe Biden is off the campaign trail today with only 6 days to go before the election. His running mate, Senator Kamala Harris, will head to Arizona as Democrats look to flip the reliable red state to blue.
Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110.
President Trump will also be stumping there, holding two rallies later today.
And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome to Jay Sekulow Live. We are taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. We're 6 days out from Election Day. We're less than 1 week. I have a question for those of you who are listening to the broadcast right now, 1-800-684-3110. Have you already cast your vote? Did you vote by mail? Did you vote in person? Did you take part in early voting? A lot of states, again, early voting is coming to a close. Other states, early voting continues up through Friday or Saturday, and then it's Election Day on Tuesday, but you need to know your states. We can't go through this broadcast all 50 states and what you've got to do. Of course, if you have questions about your individual state, we can get that information for you on the broadcast today. So if you've got those questions, sure, call in at 1-800-684-3110. But what's important to know is that we know that close to 80 million people, I think the last count was over 72 million, 73, so it's probably close to 80 at this point, with early voting still occurring in states across the country, long lines. 80 million people. I think last election was 180 million votes cast. Yeah. So, I mean, you're talking about
almost half.
We might be at half if by the time we actually get to Election Day. It seems like it's about on track for that, at least, unless early voting really starts to slow down. Now, what we do know has started to slow down, it takes us right into the case out of the Supreme Court out of Wisconsin, is voting by mail. Because you've got Democrat secretaries of state saying, first, we told you to vote by mail. Right. Now we're saying, even if you have it by mail, you better drop it off because this is not long enough. Even if you think you're going to put it in your, you know, the post office is going to pick it up, and hey, your Board of Elections is only, you know, half a mile away. So much mail could be in the mail there those few days. They're saying really don't vote by mail anymore.
Yeah, and I think we have clarity now from the Supreme Court, at least the beginning of clarity, I would say, as to how this is going to look as there's challenges. There's two cases that are really percolating right now. One out of a series out of North Carolina, and of course a series out of Pennsylvania. But there was also a decision by the Supreme Court out of Wisconsin. And it's very important to understand the breakdown of how that case went, because you have to understand what happened there. And again, it was this, are we going to let the courts extend the date upon which ballots can be cast? In other words, that the ballot can come in 3 days after the election day or 7 days, even if the state legislature says, no, it's got to be in by election day. Here's what five justices of the Supreme Court said, but differently. You have one justice, Justice Roberts, that said federal courts cannot extend these dates. That's not the job of a federal court. But he said state courts can. Justice Kavanaugh, writing a concurring opinion in the same case out of Wisconsin, said no. Neither a federal court, and then he put a footnote in and said state courts also are bound by the same constitutional process. They can't willy-nilly change the dates either. He makes the statement there has to be certainty in election dates and election timing. So I found that this really is, I think, Jordan, the roadmap of how it's going to go.
I think so, too. And so what you have now is a clear statement from four members of the Supreme Court, and you can wonder now if – with Justice Barrett, that will be five. That would be that's the big question, because then it won't matter if the court case emanates from a state court or a federal court. It's the same philosophy is going to look at it. Doesn't mean the same result, but the same philosophy is you cannot willy-nilly decide you're going to now change when ballots can come in, and that we won't ever have it into our election. And it goes back to Bush versus Gore. And Chief Justice Rehnquist saying, you have to have it. There's got to be some certainty in our election process. There has to be an end date, if you will. We say we're going to stop counting votes. We're going to stop. Remember, in that case, it was stop recounting votes. We have to say there is a winner and a loser, and we have to let our country move on. 1-800-684-3110. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Welcome back to Jay Sekulow Live. This is Jordan Sekulow. So we're taking your phone calls, 1-800-684-3130. We were out yesterday with Logan taking the reins of the show. We wanted to focus your attention on a couple of things. One is the Supreme Court case out of Wisconsin. Now, this is an interesting case because it came from a federal court, not a state court. So far, the Supreme Court, because of Chief Justice Roberts, has been siding with state courts on whatever that they really decided about when they could accept ballots. Mail-in ballots. So if it was postmarked on election day at the certain time, then if it was 6 days, if it was 3 days, if it was 9 days, they were deferring to state courts to determine this. Well, one case came out of the federal courts. So Chief Justice Roberts, he came up with, of course, one of his kind of ways
John
of getting
Roberts
at things.
Kind of answers.
Similar to the Affordable Care Act. Well, because it was a federal court, not a state court, the federal court, I guess, they shouldn't be getting involved in this, even though we're talking about U.S. constitutional issues. That's why it's before the Supreme Court in the first place.
Right.
It has constitutional consequences. But in Justice Kavanaugh's opinion, we now have a new justice on the court. So this could be a sign of how, when we see places like Instagram, Dad, saying, yep, that votes we probably won't have results on, and that's what we think is going to be. That's normal. That's going to be the process, and they're putting that out to everybody. It will be these kind of decisions by the court that will determine kind of when we stop counting votes, and that's what Bush versus Gore is about. When do we stop the recounts? When do we stop counting ballots? When do we stop looking for more? When do we stop throwing more out? And when do we say this is the end of the election?
Exactly. So Justice Kavanaugh in the Democratic National Committee versus Wisconsin State Legislature case, and there the legislature had rules and laws and regulations. Justice Kavanaugh noted that approximately 30 states, including Wisconsin, require that absentee ballots be received by election day in order to be counted. That's 30 states have that. So it's a majority of the states have that. This issue came because a federal district court in Wisconsin unilaterally changed the state's deadline for receipt of the absentee ballots. He said, well, it's because of the pandemic, so I'm going to go to, instead of November 3rd, I'm going to go to November 9th. Five justices of the Supreme Court, including the Chief Justice, John Roberts, I will say for the record, Andy, I told you he might get one right. He got one right. Although the reasoning is still a little different, to say the least. He said when it's a federal court trying to intervene, the federal courts can't do it. But the state courts can. That's under Justice Roberts. Justice Kavanaugh, Justice Thomas, Justice Alito, Justice Gorsuch took a different view. They said, of course, the federal courts can't do it But the difference between the state and federal courts are not of constitutional consequence as it relates to moving the dates for balloting. So I think, Andy, we've got a framework, and then, of course, we've got the unknown question, which will be, and these look, we've got these cases up there now. I'm involved in them. Wisconsin already decided. We've got Pennsylvania, North Carolina up there, and there may be a couple of others, too, coming. So we don't know where Justice Barrett's going to be on this, but I think we have the framework.
Yes, we do. I think definitely the framework has been put in place by the reasoning that Justice Kavanaugh put forward in doing exactly what you said. I was impressed by Justice Kavanaugh's opinion very much, because what he said is exactly what he was put on the bench to do, and that's engage in judicial restraint. He said that it is not the province of a federal district court to usurp the proper role of the state legislature in rewriting election laws in a period close to the election. A federal district court has no business, as he says, swooping in and altering carefully considered and democratically enacted state election rules when an election is imminent. So that, I think, shows the judicial philosophy of the person that President Trump appointed to the court. A state legislature's decision to make changes should be, as he says, not subject to second guessing, and this is what I love particularly, by an unelected federal judiciary which lacks the background competence and expertise to assess the public's health and is not accountable to the people. So the design of electoral procedure, he says, is a legislative task and not one that federal judges should be insinuating themselves into. I'm very much impressed with the reasoning, the clarity of the reasoning, and the fact that he's basically told federal judges that's not where we belong to be sticking our nose in.
So the difference you have, Harry, is this kind of the state court, federal court distinction. Now, Justice Kavanaugh, in a footnote, and it's a lengthy footnote on page 9 of the opinion, he says, you know, there are differences between state courts and federal courts and how it comes out of those courts. But constitutionally speaking, he writes that in a presidential election, a state court's significant departure from the legislative scheme for appointing presidential electors presents a federal constitutional question. So he disagrees with Justice Roberts. So we have four votes that would say, even if it's a state court moving these dates, they can't do it.
Absolutely. And I think it's a very, very important decision by Justice Kavanaugh. Clearly and unmistakably, he has set forth a clear rule that neither district courts nor state courts have a unlimited right to change the rules just before an election. And it doesn't matter whether it's a federal district court or a state court. So this is a very powerful, very influential decision. And I certainly hope that Justice Barrett follows the roadmap outlined by Justice Kavanaugh. Basically, we live in a republic. Article 2 of the United States Constitution gives state legislatures the right to control the rules. The rules have been set forth. Many judges, they are drawn to the claim that the coronavirus basically abrogates constitutional standards and statutory standards. That is nonsensical, simply because the American people have had weeks, if not months, to vote with proper social distancing.
And I think, again, we want to take your phone calls at 1-800-684-3110. We're asking people about how they voted, their questions, their concerns. Leading 6 days until Election Day, and so you're going to hear lots of stories, and we've got, even out of Joe Biden's campaign, you know, if you see what's coming from his campaign, his victory fund, saying, oh, we're behind in the polls. You know, it shows him behind 1 point in Michigan to Donald Trump, 4 points behind in Arizona, and 2 points down in Florida. I think the Biden campaign, and of course, that's with the DNC, that's what the victory fund is, a joint right. fund. They realize that what MSNBC and CNN are doing by having these analysts continue to come on to talk about blowouts is not good for turnout, because, yes, there's a lot of early voting. Yes, it looks like that's favoring Democrats, but there's still going to be more votes on Election Day. And if people don't show up, they the blowout could go the other way. And so they are trying to do their own pushback. I think these are made up. I don't think that these are, I think that they just put some random numbers together, Dad, to show that they're somehow behind, because they're trying to say, hey, we need to actually get people to, we have to have a group of people actually show up to vote on Election Day.
Okay, so let me make a point here. And I think this is, I think you're right. I mean, I think the polls are very all over the place, yeah, and probably half meaningless. But I think it's clear, I wanted to get Than's view on this, kind of a Washington view. Is the sense, Than, a little bit, that the media hype on Biden is so strong that they're afraid that on Election Day, which is going to be a big day for Donald Trump, I don't think anybody's going to deny that. The Election Day will be a big day, I think, for the president. The media is saying that. That they're trying to scare people into, not scare them into voting, because everybody has a constitutional, in my view, obligation to vote, but certainly the constitutional right to vote. What's going on with this, do you think?
Yeah, I think in Washington, actually, there's been some trepidation on the Democrat side of the aisle for a while now that the Biden-Harris approach to this was taking a win for granted. But look, I wouldn't put all of the blame for that if I were Democrats onto the media. I mean, look at where the Biden-Harris campaign or their ticket is campaigning today. They're in Texas and Georgia. I mean, look, maybe they believe that Texas and Georgia are in play, and maybe they will be in the end. But, Jay, to me, it harkens back to the 2016 strategy where Hillary Clinton focused on states that were not in her roadmap to 270, and I see this ticket doing the same exact thing. So look, I agree with Jordan. You know, this ad that Joe Biden put out focusing on Michigan, Arizona, and Florida. Now that's the right play. I mean, those are states that clearly are in his path to 270. So I just can't understand why he would be putting that ad out while campaigning in Texas and Georgia. To me, that doesn't make political sense.
Well, this is the problem that Hillary Clinton ran into the last time too. Is they knew on paper. It's like their analysts, like they had said, they know what's important, but yet they go to these outlier states hoping that somehow they're going to flip a Texas and Georgia when they don't even have to win the election. They've got much closer races going on in places like Michigan, Arizona, and Florida, and Wisconsin. Go there. Focus there if you're a Democrat. Why are you trying to win the outliers? You win the outliers when you get a landslide.
Well, I was going to ask you that. Why are they trying to do that?
They're obsessed with that in the Democrat Party. They're obsessed with those outliers. And I think that's what happens with these candidates is they say, see, you won't lose if you win this state. Well, then I'll keep going there. The problem is you don't have to win that state.
So they'll spend money going to Georgia, even though the chances of them winning Georgia are very, very low.
Very low. And they keep getting worse and worse by each day. I mean, that's what you could say. It's just by the polls show that it's lower and lower by the day. So why keep going back there when it doesn't need to be part of your path to victory? We'll take your calls when we get back on Jay Sekulow Live.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today. aclj.org.
All right, so we're 6 days out. Let me encourage everybody to do this.
5 hours.
If you haven't voted yet, figure out what the rules are in your state. So, yeah. You know, whether or not you're doing this, one of these states where you got to mail in ballot, you got to decide if you got to take that and then go vote in person. Figure that out now. Do not wait until election day to figure out what the rules are, to figure out where you need to go, to figure out what time you need to be there or what time it closes. If you need childcare, if you need someone, you know, or because this is, I'd say it's a tougher time. A lot of times it's fun to take your kids to go vote. This time you can do that, but it is a little bit more cumbersome because, I mean, weather plays a big role on election. Let me tell you, this election specifically, weather is going to play a big role on same-day voting, on election day voting, because you've got to keep people distance. So that means a lot of people outside, even when it's not that many people. So if you're in a place that's very cold, if you're in a place where it's going to be pouring rain and you could early vote today and it's not, think about that. Think about those things. That's why I would tell everybody listening to this broadcast, regardless of who you're going to vote for, is this is like one of those days. You're less than a week out. Figure out your voting plan, as people like to call it now. What do you need to do? Is early voting done in your state? Does it continue? Does it continue over the weekend? Does it stop tomorrow? What time? Maybe you can get this done. Do you have to take a mail-in ballot with you if you didn't send that in to go and show that you didn't send it in to vote in person? Understand the rules. That's why I tell everybody right now. And I want to go to the phone calls. We'll go to Jackie in Washington State on line three. Hey, Jackie, welcome to JSecio Live.
Hi, thank you for taking my call.
Sure.
You know, I heard about a month ago on the radio, and I've been trying to get through to you. They said it was a Christian radio station, and the man said that the Democrats were predicting that Trump would take it by a landslide on the 4th. However, a week later, Joe Biden would take it by mail. Yeah. And when I listened to you yesterday and you were like, what's he doing? And you guys couldn't figure out like what I'm like, it was so unnerving to me to hear that.
Well, let me tell you this. OK, so look, this is what's going to happen. There's been Jordan said this early. There's been 62 million votes already. Or close to 70 million.
I think 70 million.
Is it 70 now? 70
that's
million
reported
votes.
Number, which means that so doesn't include yesterday's.
You know? So you're almost halfway there to what the voting populace is going to be in this country. So you're almost at the 50% line. So here's what I think happens. And election day, I think the Trump voter is going to turn out in record numbers. We're already seeing that. You're already seeing that in some of the early voting. I think you're going to see record numbers. If the president is leading on election night, and we will be broadcasting right from these studios, the issue will be where is he leading and by how much? Because if, let's say, Pennsylvania is Trump plus 15,000, no network's going to call it with absentee votes coming in and mail-in ballots. Because in that 15,000, you could switch an election. Very difficult, numerically speaking, Harry, if you get it to, say, 50,000 plus. If it's Trump plus 70,000 in Pennsylvania, to move 70,000 votes mathematically is very difficult.
I think that is correct, and I think everyone who is intent on voting should follow Jordan's advice and not leave the election to chance. And so if you support the president of the United States, you should get out and vote immediately, if not sooner, in order to make sure
you're voting for, really, right?
In order to make sure that your vote counts and not be in a position where you regret not voting the week after the election.
The other thing here is I do think, as we said in the first couple segments, I think we have the legal framework, Andy, on how this is going to play out. I mean, if there's challenges in the state and federal, what do you want to say something first?
No. I mean, I just think President Trump echoed that message last night at one of his rallies. It was cold out there. And bite number three about getting out now.
Yeah.
This is going to be bigger than 4 years ago. By the way, get out and vote. That's the only thing. I mean, I'm standing here freezing. I ask you one little favor. Get out and vote. The Great Red Wave.
Sounds like a book title.
Yes, we do have that here.
And you have it right here. You must feel pretty good about that.
Pre-COVID, but I do think that this is what people are wondering because it happened in 2016. The president has also kind of demonstrated this is what the book is about. How do you recreate these kind of waves?
Elections. Yeah, so we've got to look at the election night, and we're going to be doing analysis. But we've got a framework now, absent, obviously, Justice Barrett. So what we don't know is Justice Barrett going to rule with Kavanaugh, Gorsuch, Alito, and Thomas, that the state courts can't monkey around with these dates either, that the legislature sets them, that's the rule. You can't start changing the law of the state by judicial fiat.
I think Justice Barrett will do just that. She is an originalist. She is a textualist. And when I say textualist, that is read the Constitution. I mean, if you look under look at the United States Constitution, as Justice Kavanaugh said in his opinion, the state courts do not have a blank check to rewrite state election laws for federal elections. And where does he cite for that proposition? Article 2 of the Constitution, which expressly provides that the rules for presidential elections are established by the states and what? In such manner as the legislature thereof may direct. That's Article 2, Section 1, Clause 2. In other words, the state legislature makes that decision, but it is raises a federal constitutional question. So a state court's significant departure from the legislative scheme for appointing presidential electors does present a federal constitutional question. And therefore, I think Justice Barrett, is going to weigh in favor of the position taken by Justice Kavanaugh.
Hey, Than, is there any sense in Washington among the Senator House staffers as whether we will have a game day call? In other words, will we have a decision election day?
I think there's a lot of thought that maybe we won't just because of how many states are close. But actually, I think that's the relevant question to ask, because just practically, Jay, I mean, you increase the odds of an outcome on election night or very soon after with decisions like the one that we just came out. And I think a lot of people's default response is, well, that's a good thing for certainty purposes. And I agree with that. But that's not the most important reason. The most important reason, Jay, and we've seen this over several elections, is when there are efforts to either engage in fraud or any other kind of electoral shenanigans, there are two efforts that take place. One, you try to create lots and lots of exceptions, and then you try to make the longest time frame possible with which to enact those concessions. It just maximizes the opportunity for games to be played. So by narrowing that down and giving people a defined scope and a defined opportunity to take a vote, you minimize fraud. And Jay, I think that's the most important reason why decisions like the one we just got out of Wisconsin are a good thing.
Let me ask you this, though, Jordan. Election night, that night, if Trump is ahead, you think they would call? I still think they won't.
I think it depends on where he's ahead and by how much. If he wins Florida, North Carolina, and he's got a lead in Pennsylvania, which could be like less than 1%, but there's not, it's 100,000 plus or 80,000, 90,000. And you look at the outstanding votes that need to be counted, mail in or absentee, whatever, and there's just not enough there.
Yeah.
Then they're going to have to start. I think it could be very late in the night because you got to get past just the East Coast. But I'll tell you, if you see those states going President Trump's way,
that's a good sign.
That's a very good sign for President Trump. Some of those are must wins. Florida, obviously. Pennsylvania is not a must win for Republicans, but it is certainly a good way to start the night. And it basically indicates you have won the election, in my opinion.
I think that's right. I think if Biden's ahead
how
that night.
How could Biden not win Pennsylvania? He's from there. Delaware is very close. That's where he's born. If you can't win your home state, you lose the election.
By the way, we're going to be broadcasting live that night. I think we're going to start around 9 o'clock Eastern time to give you analysis as it comes. All right, we're going to be back with more, including your calls. Don't forget, support the work of the ACLJ at ACLJ.org.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.